Welcome to the annual meeting. My name is George Coleman, and I have had the privilege of serving as your board president for the past year. We are very appreciative of your coming out on this evening, and we will not waste your time. We will make sure that it is used efficiently and informatively. I'd like to call upon our association attorney to confirm the quorum.
Yes, based on
Mrs. Greg Perkins.
Thank you. Based on the preparation for management, we have received enough proxies to constitute a quorum, and we do here just now, so we are good to go.
Thanks very much, Greg. So ground rules, ladies and gentlemen. Following the introductions that I'm going to be handling shortly, we will go into our meeting, and when it's an appropriate time within the meeting to have speakers from the audience participate, should you want to, you will be acknowledged. We will hand to you one of these telephone microphones, because yes, there are people who are unable to be here today that have access to us, have called in and can hear the conversations, but will not be able to ask questions. However, members of the community have been asked in advance to submit comments or questions prior to this meeting via email so that they can be addressed. Carol Floyd, on behalf of the association, have you received any emails or with questions or comments?
No. None that have.
No. No is an okay answer.
Yes.
We did receive one today, which was after the deadline, but it's a member of our community, and there's no reason in the world why we would deny them the opportunity to pose a question, and we will address that question as the meeting goes on. Once someone is recognized to speak, we ask that they identify themselves, we ask that you identify yourself with your name and where you live. And wait till you get a microphone in your hand so that you're able to do that. Your elected volunteer board consists of Kathy Bennett, who is our treasurer, George Bigley, we have Tim Glapp, who is not able to be here today, and Dan Gallagher, but they're on the phone. Patty Strunk is on the phone, and Randy Smith as well on the board, and the four of us who are present, plus the three who are not able to be here in person but are on the phone, comprise your seven-person board. Your board members, historically, those that I've gotten to know, those that I've had the privilege of working with, have done an exceptional job in promoting, advancing, and securing this association. It's interesting that I'm able to use those same words when it comes to talking about Beth Howard, the Vail group, that the Vail Beaver Crew team that she heads, and what they have been able to do for us, not just this year, because we have snow. They don't control that. They control the making of it as best they can, but they don't control the weather. But they've done the best that they possibly could for all of us. Historically, with bad weather, this year with good weather, and terrific new equipment that they have been able to provide for the community. And I'm not going to steal all their thunder. I'm going to have you hear from them. But I wanted to make sure that they, that Beaver Creek, that Vail, understands that we appreciate what you've done, and that we know that we're partners with you. And Beth, if you could say a few words. Thank you. Beth Howard, Chief Operating Officer of Beaver Creek.
Thank you, George. What a nice introduction. Thank you for those nice words. It is such a pleasure to lead a team of 3,500 incredibly talented individuals. So that's what it takes to run all of our communities in Beaver Creek Resort. So I have to say, being here this year and being able to say we have 1,500 acres open and we're not in a drought feels pretty good. When you're in this business, snow is a beautiful thing. It's a gift. We're so appreciative of it this year, I think, because of having that extended drought all of last winter. But I think we're committed to provide an incredible product to you, whether it's a drought or whether we're blessed with all this snow in a year like this. So we're happy to be here and to partner with the AVA and this incredible community of Arrowhead. So I just want to talk big picture. Gary, our VP of Mountain Ops, is here. He's going to go into some details on the mountain. And I want to give you some big picture things for the resort and really share with you what we focus on any given day when we look at guest service and how we differentiate Beaver Creek from all the other resorts. So you will hear us talk about our vision statement, which is world's best luxury family resort. It's our five-word vision statement, and it's simple. We repeat it. It's what we train to all of our employees, and we have three simple brand spires that we execute on every day to fulfill that vision. The first is legendary attention to detail. Detail matters, whether it's how the maze is set up, the snow surface, your soup is hot, your beer is cold, warm bread, soft butter, all those things matter. We do believe in the detail. Being perpetual host, we want everyone who comes to our resorts, whatever community it is, to feel welcome and to feel like they've come home, they can be comfortable. Hello. Dick, sorry, and to really reconnect with our family and relax and enjoy. And finally, providing rarefied experiences. So that's the category that we offer, which are things like first track skiing, white carpet club, playwright dinners, things like that. That goes into that rarefied experience category. We offer those, our guests love them, and it further differentiates our brand. So last year, I don't know how many got up to Red Buffalo Park. Anybody do that top of the mountain? Ride that fancy new chairlift, high-speed quad. It totally changed the dynamic of that, some of the best terrain on the hill, 200 acres, top of the mountain, lower intermediate beginner terrain. And we took that same model and applied it to our beginner area down at the base at Hay Meadow. And we have branded that Hay Meadow Park. So has anybody been there this year? Okay, good. It's worth a visit. I know you all are expert skiers, so you probably don't venture into our beginner area much, but it's a lot of fun. We have really three components. We have taken the snow, and we've shaped it in a way where it's terrain-based learning, and we call it smart terrain. So you can go in there and ski some brushies to get your turns in tune, or you can go down the winding river. You can do all kinds of things, and we branded it to the Hay Meadow. We also have taken the upper level of the ranch restaurant, which sits at the top of the beginner gondola, and we have reconcepted it to an old-fashioned ice cream parlor. So if you like banana splits, river floats, hot cocoa, that's the place to go. And if you're a foot passenger, you're not on skis or have a board, and you just want to ride the lift, there's no charge. It's free. You don't even have to go to a ticket office. Just go right onto the gondola. Right up, we have a whole new viewing area. So for our non-skiing guests who want to have to be a part of the vacation, they can just ride on up there, get a hot cocoa or get nothing, and we have blankets and chairs and a great viewing area of this new terrain. So we're really excited for that. And then the third component, we finally opened Saddle Ridge for the first time 7 days a week for lunch. So for our guests who are not members of a private club who have access to our table service, we're trying to provide that experience for them as well. And it's ski in, Sherpa out. We have a converted snowmobile with seats to bring you out. And we have a quick buffet on an a la carte menu. So we're starting to get that revved up as well. So that's really our big new thing this year. And the big news this year, it's been a very big year for us. Last year I was talking to you about submitting our proposal for McCoy Park terrain expansion to the Forest Service. That was a year ago. Today I stand here and say it's approved. And thank you for all of your support, this community, for the letters and the engaged conversation around what it's all about. It was probably one of the smoothest processes I've been through and our company's been through from a train expansion standpoint. And it's because of our partnership, working with all of our communities and garnering support and educating you. And then working with the Forest Service to answer all those questions along the way. So we got the stamp of approval. So now we are busy working on all the planning and construction with an opening of the 2021 ski season. We'll be skiing McCoy Park. And it also has a Nordic component on the perimeter of McCoy Park, not in the bowl. That's the change. But we'll have a full network of Nordic and snowshoe trails as part of this. So thanks so much. I really enjoy this community. Thanks for all your support. We do see you as partners, And we've done a lot based on your feedback, and I don't know if you want me to introduce Gary, George, or...
In a second, I just want to ask a question of you while we have the pleasure of you being with us. When did you start this whole process to get McCoy Park approved?
From start to finish, it was 2 years.
So these things don't happen real easy.
Yeah, and it had been in our master plan for many, many years, but... I've been here for just over 2 years, my third winter. It was one of the first, like, I had three top goals that I was given. Getting McCoy Park approved, it was one of them. And from literally the day after I got here, I started working on the process of that, and there's a lot of process around terrain expansions. We wanted to do it right. We wanted to be sensitive to the area, to wildlife, to disruption. So it's quite a process, but it couldn't have gone more smoothly.
Thanks.
So thank
you. And if you would introduce your
part. Quickly, give an idea of where you enter and come out of. I mean,
yep.
I've heard like three different things.
Quick question.
There are three ways you can enter.
Oh, well, that's why
I'm
okay, you're good. Top of Larkspur, there will be a new little skiway that skis in. Top of Strawberry.
Yeah.
And the top of Beaver Creek Express.
Got it.
So there will be a three ways in. And it'll be a high-speed quad. Planned in there to get you up and down. So.
And a fixed triple.
Fixed triple would be an egress out to the top of Strawberry for the beginners who can't make that trek all the way down. Beautiful spot. Yes.
Is it going to be putting any chairlifts in on the back side of the foyer over there?
No, it's just in the bowl.
Okay.
But Arnie, if you want to, feel free.
Yeah. So it's an exciting project for him. So, to my right, Gary Schmanowitz is the Vice President of Mountain Operations. He's the one getting this done and make that great snow surface and got this whole mountain open. And he just has an incredible team that reports up to him. So I'll let you give him all the details.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Appreciate you letting me give you an update here. So, wow, what a difference a year makes, huh? Last year we were here and we were just starting to get Little Brave open for ski and scout access for Christmas. This year we have, as everybody alluded to, or Beth alluded to earlier, we have 1,500 acres open. Last year at this time we had 400 acres open. This year we've had 112 inches of snow. Last year at this date, today, we have 35 inches of snow.
Wow.
So it's a huge difference. Things are going well in the mountain. Those of you that ski Arrowhead, you know, we have Crested, Little Brave open. We have two-thirds of Golden Bear done. So Saturday is when we're targeting to have the rest of that lower third of Golden Bear. We want to make extra snow to make sure we have enough to get us through April here for closing. So that's kind of our plan here on the mountain. You know, just to give you an update, for those of you that are around this summer, you probably saw some construction projects going on. Lower Little Brave, we did a pretty significant snowmaking pipe replacement there. We also added a number of energy-efficient towers to the quiver in Arrowhead. No pun intended. All right, maybe a little pun intended. But those were really good. We've gotten great feedback on that. It makes great quality snow and whisper quiet. So the quieter the gun, the less air it uses. The air is the loud part. The water is the quiet part. More water, more snow. So I think we've had really good results, and we look to continue to purchase more of these energy-efficient towers, you know, for Arrowhead and the rest of Beaver Creek. And, you know, I said this last year as well. It's like Arrowhead's a very important, vital village for us. It's part of the village-to-village-to-village skiing experience, and that's the whole thing that Beaver Creek was about when we purchased Thatcher Gulch, or built Thatcher Gulch in 97, purchased Arrowhead. That was the vision, the European ski experience where people can explore, they can venture village to village to village, and that's what we're trying to do here. We opened on time here December 15th in Arrowhead, and it was it's all part of the master plan, and Beth talked about all the guest service things that we're doing, and to have a higher guest satisfaction, that means, you know, better property values for you, and I know that's very important for all the property owners here in Arrowhead, so we're focused on that. It was, like I said, busy summer. We're going to continue to reinvest in our snowmaking system and our other signs and improvements around the mountain. So, you know, that's kind of it in a nutshell. If there are questions, mountain questions, I'd be more than happy to answer a few. Yes?
Could you please identify yourself and where you live? Thank you.
Hi.
Yeah, don't push again.
Yep, we're good.
That's her cell phone. It's talking.
All right, we're good.
She's on.
Yep.
Hi.
She didn't shut up.
I'm Kirsten Evans. I live at 12 McCoy Creek, and I have two questions. How come the tubing was shut down over at the main area?
Over at Beaver Creek?
Mm-hmm.
That happened, three or four years ago. I came back a year ago, and I think, it was just visitation. And we really repurposed that with Hay Meadow Park, so we moved that covered carpet over to the top of the ranch area, and we put a lot of new, what we call smart terrain in. For ski school, for a lot of the entry-level skiers there. It was just, utilization.
Okay.
We didn't see a lot of utilization.
And the second thing is I've been a homeowner here for 10 years and then a skier here for a lot longer than that. One of the things I noticed, though, as I come here during different parts of the year, they say the terrain is, I think, maybe 50% or more blue trails. But when I go around, a lot of the blue trails aren't groomed. So, for example, if you go up Larkspur Bowl, you have a lot of the chutes coming down to the side. Those, I think, are black or blue.
Those are
blue.
Black drives.
You know, I noticed that the majority of people are always in the main chute, and it seems like Beaver Creek could benefit by maybe doing some additional grooming on blue slopes to kind of disperse some of the skiers so they're not so much in the same areas.
Right.
So
those little chutes that you're talking about, those are actually single black diamond runs. And,
right.
And we try to groom Larkspur on a regular basis, the middle of the bowl. And then usually once or twice a week we'll do those other little those shots like Loco.
But we lost one of the blue runs at the Grouse Mountain. But it just seems like, for instance, I just see a lot of people on the main blue groomed runs, and maybe we could, especially during busy weeks, groom a lot more to get people dispersed so there's no accidents and spread the wealth around a little bit.
Understood. Yeah, we can certainly
suggestion and obviously it's been heard.
Not that I don't like the black slip.
All right.
Do you have
a question for Gary?
Sure.
If I give you this, identify yourself if you would.
Hi. My name's Ari Sess. I live at 198 Aspen Meadow, and two quick questions. The new McCoy terrain, could you talk about maybe percentages of green, black, blue? And then also the rodeo terrain park, are you guys going to be doing that this year? And if not, you know, why not? Thank you.
Okay. McCoy Park, it's about 250 acres, and it was, that remind me, the 25%, 75% beginner, 25% intermediate, and there's no black diamond, no expert. And then the rodeo question was a great question. Again, that's similar to the tubing hill, it's just utilization. You know, the majority of our guests don't use any type of large features. And we decided to kind of reinvest those resources into having a better small and medium terrain park offerings and new terrain in the Hay Meadow Park area. So really it was a business decision based on utilization and reallocating those resources to where it can benefit a wider variety of guests.
Thanks.
If that makes sense.
We want to try to move this along if we can. We can, since you've made a comment, we'll let you go again. We'll move this along.
I'm going to wait until we add for questions if you want to.
No, that's okay.
My name is Jeff O'Neill. I live over at Buffalo Park. So what's Beaver Creek's position on hikers up the mountain or skinners, like during the day or not? It seems different across the different areas.
So Summit County is different than Eagle County. So in Eagle County, it's the same. So we do allow uphill access skinners on our ski runs during the day. If they're going to ski down, they have to have a pass or a lift ticket. That's because they're using our trails that we make snow on and we groom. So we do require that. And then and after hours, we have a winch cat hotline that tells you where the snowmaking and the winch cats are working. So if you're going to go after hours or in the morning, we ask people to call the winch cat hotline and update that. You know, we'll reevaluate that. In Summit County, it's different. In Breckenridge and Keystone, they don't allow uphill access during the day, but they do allow it at night on designated routes. So, you know, it's based on what everybody, you know, feels.
I got to compliment you for having the uphill access here at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, it's well utilized. I know a lot of the Arrowhead homeowners like to do that.
We're going to compliment you even more, Gary.
No, which stop.
Gary has been available, open, communicative. He participates in ADA's snow committee and has kept us informed about what is planned, what has been done, and what is planned next. So for that, we appreciate it. Thank you for your openness. Your entire crew has been like that. Thank you. Paul, Mike, come on up, and then we're going to ask you too. I want to introduce Mike to you. He is the, you'll tell everybody. You describe your job a lot better. He's not new to Vail, will be great for sure, but he'll tell you a little bit about the background and what he's doing now.
Thanks, George. Hi, everyone. Mike Trueblood, new Senior Director of Village Operations for Beaver Creek. Previously, I worked over at Vail as the Senior Director of Finance for the last 2 years. I've been with Vail Resorts a little more than 2 years, just a little, I'm a heavy uphill user, Arrowhead, too, early, try to staff, but like a lot of people here, I live in Edwards and spend a lot of time over here, whether it's skiing or skiing in anyway, just one of my favorite places. So anyway, 2 years of Vail Resorts. Started my career as a CPA out of college for about 4 years or so, and I spent about 14 years Comcast in finance and in operations, so I know facilities and customer service and things like that in the last few years working here in Vail Resorts in the ski world, so very excited to be here and be part of the team. And so I work with Jerry Hensel here. I work with Jim Clancy and Paul Gorbold and some of the other folks on the village operations, which includes our public safety, base operations, transportation, mountain services, design review board. Just a lot of the infrastructure and a lot of work over here at Arrowhead. So very pleased to be over here, be part of the team, and thanks for welcoming me. Thanks, George.
Thank you, Mike. It's interesting the staff that Mike just introduced are our go-to people. If we have questions with regard to public safety, John and Jim, who is now leaving us, but we'll miss him. But when we ask something of public safety, I know sometimes it seems it takes a while to get things done, they're constantly working on a new solution for a problem that has popped or cropped up. And so they are working in partnership with us. Jerry will direct us to the right person. He knows everything there is to know within the resort. You're reaching out to AVA. We reach out to Mike, Jerry, and their crew. New this year, or an improvement this year, is Village Connect. Paul is in charge of transportation for Beaver Creek. And Paul, if you give us a couple of comments on that, we'd be very appreciative. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Paul Gorold, and I'm the Senior Manager of Transportation for Beaver Creek, Bachelor Gulch, and Arrowhead. And as George alluded to, we did roll out a new product this year, an enhancement to the transportation offerings called Village Connect. And so it's a mobile device-based application or app, and really what it does is it brings a proprietary Uber-like experience to the residents of the communities of Beaver Creek Resort. And so what you can do is you can book your pickup from your home to the Alpine Club, and then you can track the progress of the Arrowhead to Beaver Creek Express service utilizing the app. We rebranded the services as Village Connect because really we want to connect you with where you want to go. And also we want to get away from that having to call for a ride or dial a ride connotation. So if you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to download the Village Connect app for iOS or Android and use it to travel around the Arrowhead community. Yes, I guess we'll take questions.
Richard,
could
you identify yourself and where you live?
Richard Jensen. I live in Wildflower Place, which is where we usually walk to the Alpine Club for our skis. We've been here for the last 6 days. We tried the app. We thought it was terrific. You know, it got us right there. Of course, that was before anybody else was really out here. It was very good. But we've had, our family has since used it twice, with some bad experiences, and I thought I'd pass those along. One, when they got the app from the Alpine Club, you realize that Wildflower, it does not tell you how long it's going to take. They went across the highway, went up the hill. It took them a half an hour to get to our house, which would normally take 5 minutes. And had they known, they would have called me, and I would have come picked them up by the car. The other one was our daughter-in-law, who did not have her phone, at the Alpine Club, wanted to get on a bus and said they would not take her because she didn't call on the app to make the reservation. I'm just passing that along. And in my experience, what I told my family is, hey, this is just coming out. There's going to be a lot of kinks. I'm sure they're going to be solved. But I thought since you're here, I'd pass those along.
Thank you for the feedback.
Any other questions? And when he says thank you for the feedback, he means it, and he'll be on this. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Any other questions of this wonderful opportunity of having the Vale Beaver Creek senior people with us that you'd like to add that's specific for them? We appreciate it. We know you've got so many other things to do. We will not be insulted if you need to go somewhere. But more significantly, the appreciation that we have is just that. Thank you. That mountain is terrific. This community, we cherish, and we appreciate that you help us in enjoying it. Thank you. Go for approval of the minutes. You had the minutes sent to you. Hopefully you've had a chance to read them. Are there any comments about the minutes? Are there any changes that are proposed? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Thank you. That's Diane Reed, who's moved to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
That's Kathy Bennett. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I guess the minutes are accepted as presented. We're going to move election of board members. Greg Perkins, if you would tell us. We have two nominees. You all received this. Of course, fortunately, are here with us this evening. Diane Lusbach is right here, and Chad Hollingsworth. They were invited by the board to come to meetings so they can hit the ground running, know what this community is dealing with, and know the direction that it's going into. Not to predispose them, but to pre-educate them. So we appreciate the fact, whether you get elected or not, we appreciate the fact that you can come into those meetings. So, Greg?
Thanks, George. This is actually pretty simple. Diane is taking the spot of George that George currently holds, and Chad is being presented for the space, the medium density director position that Patty Strunk is vacating. Your board is seven members, three members that are elected sort of by the different community types, low density, medium density, and high density, and the others and one commercial, and then the seat that George Bigley holds, and then the other three are elected at large. So typically we have one of the regular directors, one of the specific directors, and one of the at-large directors each meeting on a rotating basis. So if you filled out and sent in the proxy that had voting on it, you have voted. There's nothing else you need to do. There may be some of you here that did not send in a proxy because you knew you were going to be here. We use the same form to allow you to vote. So if you'd like to vote and you haven't, you should raise your hand, make it known, George or Carol or somebody can get a ballot. We would fill it out and just get it back to Carol. In the next few minutes while the meeting goes on, we can do an official announcement of the results of the election later. We are...
All right, those of you on the phone, we're passing around some ballots for people who may not have had an opportunity to vote. All right.
So the other thing I just wanted to mention, George, is that we have had several...
Ladies and gentlemen, if we could have your attention, because the conversations that take place that are not... they're blocking people on the phone from hearing them. So, Greg, if you...
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we have had several proxies received with a write-in ballot, a write-in name put on that. So that technically makes this a contested election, which under Colorado law we need to do as a secret ballot. So we've worked that out, and we have that kind of taken care of. It's really nothing you need to do differently, but I just wanted to make sure that that was clear to everybody.
Terrific. Thank you. We'll have the results at the end of this meeting. We're going to move now to our financials and to our very capable, exceptionally dedicated treasurer, to Kathy Bennett.
Okay, do I need to stand up or do you want to hand me a...
Oh,
I can take it.
Oh, you've got
thank
so much
you.
Money you can't stand.
Right, we have actually a very simple financial structure. Our primary sources of revenue as an organization are the dues that all of you pay and the transfer fees upon sales of residences. And in, for example, in 2018, I'm putting my glasses on, I am old. We had $1.16 million in our dues, and then $1.15 million in transfer fees. One of the interesting things about it's referred to as RITA, is that it all is dependent upon sales of homes within our community. And oftentimes we have a budget for the year, and it's been based on historical trends on sales of property within our community. And in this current last year, 2018, we would get to like July, August, and we were way behind. And I would talk to Aaron McCauley, who keeps track of this within our support system. She's the treasurer within the support of our organization. And she'd say, Kathy, I'm not so sure, but maybe we get title reports and they say there's going to be more sales. Well, this year we were deeply concerned as of September, and by October, November, December, Aaron was calling me and going, we got more sales, which should be.
What happened when we were deeply concerned? What action was taken?
We sat within the board and talked about it and looked at our budget and tried to cut anything that was feasible to cut. And be good stewards of your money and making sure that we tried to end the year with a balanced budget. And that is our goal every year. And then starting at the end of the summer into the fall, the transfer taxes increased as there were more and more sales within our community, which we all should applaud. It's saying that Arrowhead as a community is becoming more and more attractive to people to buy in. And anyway, in sum, and I don't want to take much time, we ended up over budget for 2018.
Of revenue.
In terms of revenue from the transfer tax. And it was, probably
193.
I thank you, George. She memorized those things. But when you think we only have two sources of revenue. One is absolutely based on the number of people in our community, which is our dues. And everybody has paid their dues for 2018. The other is variable depending on sales of homes. So we are a bit, as George has said, over budget for 2018. So we then go into 2019, we are not going to try and budget in excess of what we did. We were very modest in saying what we should account or believe we can account for in the coming year. So dues, finite number of people here paying dues, but keep it conservative is what we budget for the RITA transfer fees. And again, it's totally contingent upon house sales. So our operating expenses are totally determined by what we believe is going to be the income. And they're pretty simple, too. We have public safety, which we all know about. Utility landscaping. Big part of what is the beauty of Arrowhead is the landscaping, and we try to keep that as an important part of our budget every year. I'm going to try, hopefully, take Patty Sunk's place in chairing the landscaping committee in the coming year because I think flowers are the most fabulous in this community. Recreational amenities, trash we have, insurance, additional transportation as we try to do that. I'm just running through the major topics.
How many of the expenses that we've been traditionally paying over the past, let's say, 5 years, we're looking at them increasing drastically, or are we pretty much holding the expenses that we've had?
We try to keep them as totally guided by our budget, which is our revenue number. But some are very important to the community. And, you know, we try to keep our priorities consistent with the things that our members of this community have indicated are important. When we talk about just total numbers, if you think about our 2019 budget, proposed budget, it's $2.3 million for income and $2.1 million in expenditures in an operating sense. And then we use some of that excess money that we have, $143,000 for 2019, as capital projects, things that the people in the community have expressed an interest in having, whether it's, you all remember the Cresta Road, the landscaping there was improved considerably. The tennis center, how we improve, those kinds of things. We want to be totally responsive to the community and the amenities that people want. So those are, and then at the same time, we want at the end of the day to keep a very good cushion in the budget every year in case of some adverse circumstances or some emergency.
The biggest adverse circumstance that we have experienced over the past several years is the inability to depend on RETA. Real estate
yes.
tech transfer assessment, because
right.
you can't count on people selling their homes or people buying their homes. Those vary from year to year. What we established within the budget for the RETA, I apologize, Kathy.
No, go on.
What we established is we take the three-year average of the previous 3 years and we use that to budget going forward. Doesn't always work. We thought it wasn't going to work this year. We were concerned. But what does work is that the board has committed that this surplus that we have from the 2018 budget is not going to get spent next year, because we've already set the budget for 19. It's going to go into reserves, and our reserve fund is going to grow to about $1.4 million. That is a cushion for the future and emergencies, as you said, but also in case we didn't come in. That's the biggest variable that we have in our budget.
And it is important everybody know that it is, you know, you pay your dues, and I think compared to another community I live in, our dues are very reasonable, even despite the increase last year. But we are very much reliant upon these transfer fees.
Thank you. So what's your responsibility in all of this, besides paying your dues when you get the bill paid? Your responsibility right now, this minute, is to cast a vote for the entire budget. There's no line item. The line discussion is taken care of by the board. The board has made a presentation to this group for a budget, and we're asking for your approval. Is there a motion?
Can I jump in?
You actually
don't need a vote.
The board does it.
It's approved at this meeting by the owners, ratified, unless there's a motion from the floor to disapprove. That would be the question you might want to ask.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody want to disapprove the budget as presented? Please make a motion that you do. Not hearing such, we will accept this as a ratification of the budget with our appreciation. We move now to the Metro District update, which will be presented by Jerry, who sits in on that board, as he does in all of our ADA board meetings. The members of the Metro Board, one of which this gentleman just retired off the Metro Board. Thank you, Dick LeRae, for your service. The present chair or the president of the Metro District is Bob Schaefer. He's joined on that board by Tom Svoboda, Bill Rowe, Tom Howard.
Vince Riccio.
And Vince Riccio.
Howard.
I said Tom.
Bob yeah. Rosen.
No, Bob Rosen no longer on the board.
Yeah.
He moved.
Yep.
To be on the Metro Board, you have to be elected by the community and to vote for anything to do with Metro, including any proposed change in mill, whatever. You not only have to be a resident of Arrowhead, you've got to be a registered voter in Colorado. So, Chris, I could not vote, but
So, like,
I could.
Yeah, you could, that's right. But George says we do have an open seat on the board right now, and we're hoping to fill it at this next meeting. The Metro District had a very strong financial year this year. They paid down $730,000 of the debt, which is awesome. They maintained a cash reserve at over $2 billion, which is great. Beginning in 2020 is when we start to see the Gallagher Amendment stuff coming in, and that's where we're going to have the reduced property taxes. So that's what the Metro District is looking at, the sales tax offset, the reduced revenue they're getting from the reduced property taxes to the homeowners. They're looking at implementing a possible sales tax to offset that revenue shortfall. On the other side, their buses are continuing to upgrade their bus fleet. Every year we've been buying a bus, and we have two more buses to replace that are older, and then we'll have a brand new bus fleet, which is awesome. They're being very proactive at keeping the transportation system in check. We will continue the skier bus to Vail on Tuesdays, and that starts right after the new year here, and that will run through March, which is an awesome opportunity to get over to Ski Vail. The skier parking lot is going to be managed exactly the same way it was last year. There's going to be no changes in what happened. We're not going to be turning away any homeowners. We'll put 200 skiers in the lot, and after that, it stops. Then all the rest of the spaces stay open for homeowners or employees. There's 17 homeowner spaces in there that's along the playground. Those 17 homeowner spaces are for you to use, but in those 17 homeowner spaces, there's no overnight parking in those spaces. And this year, we've been seeing a little bit of overnight parking in those spaces. If you are leaving a car in the parking lot, we ask that you park in the parking lot if you're going to leave it overnight. That helps with the plowing opportunities. That leaves those spaces open for the homeowners who are going into the Alpine Club at 7 in the morning to utilize that. The district where we're just going through the finalization of our 10-year maintenance plan for the community. We're looking at the roads, and that will be coming out in the spring, so we'll have a good idea of what we're going to be paving going forward. We just finished two large projects with Swatch and Arrowhead Drive and getting our main access points up to speed, which is, they've been awesome. The roads came out really great, and now we're starting to look at the side road stuff, and that we'll have those schedules coming out here. Probably early spring, we'll know what roads we're going to be going forward with in the next couple of years. Anything else on there? Like we said about the sales tax, they are right now, they are looking at putting on the fall ballot again. So just so everybody's aware of that. Does anybody have any questions regarding the district? I think they do a very good job for you. I'm very proud to work for them. They're a good bunch of people, and they care about the community at this time. So,
thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks. Excellent report.
Appreciate that. A report was prepared by the president of Arrowhead Metro District, by Bob Schaefer, and Jerry knows more than Bob knows about it, so there was some nice amplification that just took place.
Yeah.
Thank you. So what's going on in the community? A bunch of stuff happened this year. The board was, I would say, involved is an understatement. But you know who else was involved? Over 100 members of this community have served on a committee of the ADA this year. And many of them are in this room right now. But probably the one that the committee that took on, two committees took on a great deal this year. One I'll talk about shortly, but the one I'll talk about first, we're fortunate to have the chair of that committee here and a member of that committee here. That's the Design Review Committee. So what do they undertake under the leadership of David Cooper with the, of course, the participation of the entire members of that committee with Gail Gelfand, let's see, we had on that committee as well, Kathy Alto, Cam Fry. Those are two professionals on the committee, not homeowners. But David, who chairs the committee, is an architect, a professional, and a homeowner. And with Chip Spratton, a former president of this organization, who has joined on there. So what happened with Design Review this year? Just a couple of things. They sent out a survey asking us questions about what we wanted to do in modifying, if anything, the guidelines.
Then they started a group of, they employed, well, ABA employed, a consulting firm, Shepherd Resources. They took the next step, used the survey, held some town hall meetings, and asked you face-to-face, those of you who were able to attend or who wanted to, did so, and gathered more information. Then rewrote the guidelines. And then rewrote the guidelines. And then rewrote the guidelines. And came up with what is a wonderful, new, and up-to-date set of guidelines. David and that talented group, plus members of the community who, at large, who joined in on the process, forged forward well, the wonderful guidelines that are now governing us and how we, what should take place in modernizing, reasonably modernizing Arrowhead at Vail. David, did you want, you know what, put this down for a second. I'd like to go like this. And anything you'd like to add?
So the only thing I'd add is we have staff who is heavily involved and spend an enormous amount of time, Jerry, Sid, others who are involved. The committee was great. We did spend a lot of time doing it. And the whole goal of rewriting the guidelines was so that we could update the quality of architecture in Arrowhead. It hasn't been done for a long time. There's been very little that's done to change. And we're hoping that this will encourage not only those of us in the room, but others to upgrade the quality of the architecture and landscape. There are a lot of things that can be done with fairly simply things and more complicated things, but we're encouraging people to do more with their buildings and their landscape so we can make Arrowhead even a better place to live than it already is. So George encouraged us to push that hard to do it. We got it accomplished. It's now published. It's on the website. So you can see and follow through this, the guidelines and what they are. I think they're much more, much less prescriptive. They give you a lot more flexibility in what you can do. So we hope all of you take that opportunity to do some of that work. So thank you, George.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Gail. Thanks to the rest of the committee. And Sid, I certainly should have spoken about your participation in this whole thing, along with Steve Nussbaum. And you're always there for us, and we appreciate it. Thank you. So what else is taking place this year? I'm not going to go through all the different things that we were involved with. Certainly, we reintroduced the FAC Friday Afternoon Club in the summertime. That was funded, those dates, by your association. Short-term rental regulation review was begun by a subcommittee, then brought to the Strategic Planning Committee. We'll give you highlights on that shortly and what the timing on whatever may happen next is. We've had the creation of an intercommunity as ABA, CCR, and the Alpine Club, Vail Resorts, Beaver Creek, an intercommunity council that communicates. They're going to move forward on a particular thing that's going to be of great value, we believe, to the entire community. I'll come back to that in a second and call upon Randy perhaps to say a few words about it. Thank you. We have a new code management system for that under the auspices of public safety, upgrading of our video, our cameras, so not only can we see a video, can we see a face in a car, we can read a license plate as people come and go. Safety signage, landscaping, nuisance tree mitigation, the removal thereof, and it goes on. This is all in your newsletter, which brings me to say communication. You're participating in it. Now we all are. That's been something that's been so critical to this board, the transparency, the ability for us to understand what you want and for you to get reasonable, prompt responses to questions. We had two town hall meetings this year in addition to the town hall meetings that were held by the Design Review Committee. We have had two newsletters, a summer and a winter newsletter. We have had countless emails
committee with questions that were addressed promptly. Our minutes of this board are published within 1 week of the meeting, and they are on the website. Our meetings are open, as are metro districts, and you are welcome to participate or to submit questions if you're unable to come. They are on the fourth Monday of the month at 10 a.m., and they're held at, this is all in your newsletter, at the Seasons, not the Seasons here at Arrowhead, but the one that's in, over in Avon. And among the things that your board is also very much interested in doing, in conjunction with CCR and with the Alpine Club, is what Randy's going to talk to you about.
Oh, okay. thanks, Dorothy. Everybody. I'm going to do my best to be brief. The Energy Community Council is, as Stuart said, made up of two representatives from four organizations, the Country Club, the Alpine Club, the Metro District, and your Homeowners Association. This year, we've addressed a number of issues, but the issue that became a particular focus for us was the issue of how do we raise within the general populace, if you will, not in a world sense, I'll explain later, but awareness of Arrowhead. Many people said to us, both those who live in Arrowhead and those who don't live in Arrowhead, Arrowhead is the Valley's best-kept secret. It's a good word and a bad word in that sentence. Best is good, secret is bad, unless you never want to sell your property, which most people in this room probably don't, unless you're handing it down to your next generation. So we began a conversation and a lot of discussion and sought counsel and advice from outside experts looking for a solution to that particular issue. How do we raise the awareness of Arrowhead, particularly in a place like the Bell Valley, where there's so much noise in terms of social media, the Bell Beaver Creek magazine, the Bell Daily, and so forth and so on. So there was a sense of how do we reach the people that make a difference to Arrowhead in terms of who might be the target market for buying property in Arrowhead. After going back and forth, we made a decision to go strategically in the direction of enhancing our activity in social media, Facebook, Instagram, those types of things, which I assume most of you participate in, if not on a daily basis, like my grandchildren, you do it on somewhat frequent basis. Those are great avenues for doing a couple of things. One, of informing people, both your internal audience, like our residents here, homeowners, and external audiences, particularly an ability to target certain segments of that external audience. So at the end of the day, we selected the social media strategy. We received a proposal to execute that strategy. We're looking to accomplish several things. Raise awareness of Arrowhead, what Arrowhead offers in terms of amenities, but why Arrowhead is such a great place to own real estate, and a great place to live and raise your family in many instances. We really want to put Arrowhead in people's minds such that they know it's here. We've had a lot of relocation in the Valley recently that many of you are aware of folks from Vail moving down Valley looking for a little lower elevation. One of those people actually said, you know, until 6 months ago, I'd never been to Arrowhead. I never heard about Arrowhead, and this is a very long-term property owner, and they. So we're looking to change that dynamic, not just for people relocating because they want 1,000 less feet to sleep in, but for people who are looking to buy property for the first time. So over this next year, we'll begin executing that particular strategy, primarily focused on Facebook and Instagram. We found a great group of guys to work with, to collaborate with on this endeavor. We believe we'll satisfy the following equation. If we can increase awareness, whether it's the Front Range, Texas, California, Michigan, you pick it, we can increase interest in what Arrowhead offers in terms of a place to live and a place to invest in real estate. If we can increase interest, we can increase demand. If we can increase demand, we can increase your property value.
Now, are we going to be able to, at the end of next year, tell you that your property values have gone up? No. But we will be able to tell you what our activity levels have been like, what the number of clicks on our website have changed from this year to next year, what number of followers we have on Facebook and Instagram. So those are the kinds of areas that you should expect to see, and we'll be sending out information to you because we want you to participate with us in that undertaking. If you follow those two social media areas, you know that you can individually post photos of your ski day on the mountain, what it was like to do first tracks on Arrowhead, what it was like to get on the Arabon lift at 8 o'clock in the morning and get up the Arrowhead Mountain for a day in the sun with a bluebird day and ski. Those are great messages that get communicated, and we have the ability to kind of direct the audiences that those go to. We're looking to really attract a lot of attention to those, and we'll be able to report hopefully some progress next December.
That's right. And Randy is involved in partnership on behalf of ABA in terms of the way this is being funded. I'll get you my way. This is being funded not just by ABA, but your tax dollars are going towards this as well. Not dollars that you pay to ABA, but that you pay the Metro District. Metro District has placed a third of the cost of this initial outlay, and for that we are appreciative. There is a question or a comment back here. Identify yourself.
Fred Kirshner, and I live at the Greens. Have you surveyed the new buyers, 2018 buyers?
No, we have not.
And found that?
We have
What brought them to Arrowhead?
We have not, to answer your question.
That would be a significant place for you to...
Information. We've had a number of conversations. We went through the back way to get that information, quite frankly, by talking to real estate brokers. And what we found out from real estate brokers is a lot of folks got here because they rented the property, and that exposed them to the community, and then as a result they said, I think I want to buy either a rental property or a true second home. The other realtors said, were folks, like I said, who were local relocations, is because they expressed, because of a relationship with a broker, they expressed an interest in finding a lower elevation, what should they consider. And that's how those transactions happen. As a general rule, it's kind of been knowledge or members of clubs in Houston, for example, who have their golfing buddies who own property here, and that relationship leads to their interest in deciding to buy here. So a lot of both friends and primary residence locations have been an avenue for those referrals.
Great idea, though, which we're going to follow up on. We know who bought, not just who sold. We have those names. We're going to ask them. Why didn't we do that before? Because you didn't ask us before, and we will now. Thank you very much, Mr. Kirshner. All right. While we're doing the updates, you asked us in the survey, and we told you we would, and we did, check into a owner's only, and guess, swimming pool, because the Alpine Club pool gets a bit busy, often with non-owners or their guests. And we looked into it. We selected 8 different sites that were potential. We checked with a builder. We brought a member of our community in who builds commercial pools all over the East Coast. And we found out we're not doing it. $6 million just to get started. So anybody wants to swim, I'm sorry, we're going to be using what is a very nice pool, the Alpine Club pool. And we've gone a step further with the Alpine Club, and that we have discovered mutually between the Alpine Club and the Village Association here that we have a committee called the Alpine Club Pool Advisory Committee, made up of those three entities, and the sharing of the cost of management and consumables is shared, but not the capital items, which Alpine Club pays 100% of. So we have a wonderful relationship that has been rekindled. We found some old documents
and we're living up to them. And that is the pool update. And speaking of updates, capital. Oh, we have some questions over here. I'm going to start back there, then I'm going to come to you, okay? If you could pass that back. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Eric DeHaan. I'm at 198 Aspen Meadow as well. I was just wondering why the hours of the pool have changed to 7 o'clock, closing things down.
Correct. That's a great question, and we're going to answer it for you. Perfect. The answer to that, the question was, if you didn't hear it, the hours of the pool have been shortened. It used to be later, now it's 7 p.m. during the winter time, and the rationale behind that is the community, especially the one that lives around it, concerned about, has been concerned, quite frankly, they've been annoyed, about the noise level and the sometimes people jumping the fence, things that are inappropriate that's taking place in there. I'm not talking about, don't smirk at me like that, Ken Lewis. You were the guy, weren't you? No. In the drinking that goes on in there, glass sometimes being brought in there, and but the most significant answer, the most appropriate answer is the community decided to change it to 7. It wasn't an ADA thing. It was principally the people who live around there and the Alpine Club itself. Other questions? Thanks. Diane, you had a question?
No.
Oh, was there? No. He had the same question. So thank you.
Alcohol is not allowed in that pool, is it?
Usually it only gets there after it's been processed. Gail, you're right.
Yeah, it's not there.
Yeah. We have a question back here. All right. We're now going to go. We're getting there, folks. On the community update, we're going to go to capital project update. And Jerry, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, I can give you a capital project update here.
We're going to spend about $143,000 this year on capital projects. About $30,000 of it's going to be at the clay court, main tennis center. We're getting new windscreens and a new ball machine there. We're going to do a lighting study in the community. We're going to look for some dark spots and two brightest spots in the community and identify them, and then look forward to trying to do something with that. We're going to continue our hiking trail. The hiking trail that we started here that starts up, hopefully you guys got to experience this, the one that starts here at the Broken Arrow. It's the Kiowa, or the Choctaw, to the Comanche, to the Kiowa. And the Choctaw is the trail that leads up, and then we're going to do a circle trail that's going to loop back, and that's not finished yet, but we started and we're going over to the Village Trail. And that's in cooperation with the Bachelor Golf Village Association, so we're going to be able to. So from here, you'll be able to get to Village Trail and then continue on to either Beaver Creek or go back up to Mud Springs and come back down, or there's going to be a loop that's going to come back down to the Choctaw on the bottom. That's all going to be completed, hopefully prior to July 4th next year. We're using the Vail Resorts Trail Building crew for this, and they've done a fabulous job. If you guys have been up there, the trail is just outstanding. So, besides hiking, what else might take place on that trail in the winter time?
In the winter time, we're checking out snow surfaces, so it's possible that we are looking at some type of grooming on it if it holds snow. We don't know if it's going to hold snow or not, so we're looking at it. We're checking it out during the course of the year, which would be a great added adventure. Even if only half of it holds snow, we can get half of it in, which would be awesome. On that note, the grooming has started. Now, I'm going off capital right now, but the grooming is starting on the Mud Springs Trail, so up to the yurt. That's getting groomed every Friday. And then the golf course, CCR, has been grooming the golf course, which has been awesome. Last year, we didn't get it groomed until late February. And we start grooming at it in November this year, which was awesome. Along with the capital, we're replacing more of the security vehicles this year. And we're going to do some upgrades on the gate system. We're looking at some different types of gate systems to try to speed it up or make it more safe. There's a number of things out there we're looking at. So we're trying to prevent the followers is kind of what we're looking at on that. So we don't exactly know where we're going yet, but we know we want to go there. So, and then we've got the money identified for landscape. And those projects aren't identified as of yet. That's what the committee does. The committee goes together. We identify upcoming landscape projects, whether we have
some tree removal that needs to be done, or tree replacements, or additional flower beds, or things.
You know who's on that committee? It could be you. So if you're interested in that, please let us know.
Very good. Well, I'm good, George.
All right. Thanks, George.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Any questions?
All right. So what do we have left to cover today? I'm going to speak about short-term rentals briefly. We're going to then go on to the certification of the election, and then we'll go over the floor for other business that people may have. So short-term rental regulation. The board, through committees at first, and then most recently at the board level, and in conjunction with council, have put together a set of regulations in response to what many of you in the community have asked for. There is no minimum stay requirement in these proposals. There is, let me read you some of the regulations that people were concerned about. Let's see, trash. No trash, ashes, garbage, or other refuse shall be thrown or dumped on any land or area within the property. Horrible rule. Parking. No automobiles other than vehicles shall be parked in any street or upon any portion of the property except within garages, carports, or designated parking areas. Noise. Owners shall not permit any noise or disturbance on their lots or within their condominium units which tends to disturb, and it goes on. These items here, very onerous. We're asking renters to live up to, oh, I'm sorry, that's not from the short-term rentals record. That's from our declarations. That's all of us. We agreed to that when we joined, when we came here. And there's nothing unreasonable. And the short-term regulations say the same thing. Renters aren't going to be treated any differently, nor should they be. They should be held to the same level of expectation that any of us owners are. Nothing more egregious, nothing easier. The same. So what's going to happen is that the board is going to pass these regulations, which it has the right to, does not need a vote, but does need, because of what we have in our rules and regulations and how we operate as a community, to present them to you for a 30-day comment period. That'll happen after the first meeting. The board will not move forward without having considered the comments and responded to them. We want you to be informed. We want you, in turn, to be those that inform others. There have been such a great degree of misinformation that has been out there about short-term rentals, why we're doing it, it's only going to affect people in the within the village. It's for everyone's benefit and for everyone's value. And that is why the board took this as seriously as it did. I'm sure there'll be some comments, and we'll come to that during other business, but that's the report of the board. And now I would like to, before we go to other business, we're going to ask Greg for the results of the election, please.
Carol, can you tell me whether any of the votes you got at the meeting changed the overall outcome you gave me earlier on?
It did not.
Okay. So I can report to you that Diane Lewsbrock has been, she has been elected to the at-large position, and Chad Hollingsworth has been elected.
Welcome to this board. The community will be well served by your participation, as it has been already, so thank you. We open the floor for other business. Oh, pardon me. I did tell you there was a comment that came in came in today, which I would like to share with you and see your take on. The request from this individual was that we consider the annual meeting be held at a different date. That it be held perhaps in the summertime, that it be held at a different date so that more people could attend. The board had, this was brought to the board at its last meeting, and the board for a number of reasons, but most specifically is that we want to present you with a budget that is meaningful. For us to do it earlier on in the middle of the summer or even in October, November, would make it a little bit more challenging in terms of giving you real information. The other side of it is there an ideal time?
I open it up to the floor for any comments, any suggestions. There being none, the board will continue to have its annual meeting, the association will continue to have its annual meeting generally at this time of year. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, other business that somebody would like to present?
Kirshner of the Greens again. I have a question. People who rent, are they required to notify the association that they are renting?
Good question. Currently, no.
And is the board considering making that a change?
The board is considering, within the regulations, the licensing of short-term rentals. Here's the thinking behind it. We're not asking for any greater rules within these regulations than you or I have in our domicile. But if a renter breaks a rule, what's our recourse? We can go after the owner, who might say, well, it wasn't me, it was the renter. But if we have a license issued, a permit to operate a short-term rental, and that owner does not respond in an appropriate fashion to assure the rest of the neighborhood to have their quiet enjoyment of their property, then that license can be, first there can be a warning, then a fine, then a higher fine, then a revocation of the license. So this has teeth in it, whereas the rules haven't changed, but the teeth have.
A follow-up question. Since the transfer tax is a, at best, iffy situation, once you have people having to register, can the association in fact put a tax on the rental?
The answer is no. We're not. We don't have that authority. We're not that type of an association. You need a quasi. What's
municipal.
The term?
Quasi-municipal.
Remember him? Yeah. Quasi-municipal. He was Quasimodo's cousin.
First cousin by his mother's
first
side.
First cousin, of course. So we don't have that power. However, when we have, if there is a sales tax that takes place, that those of us who are able to vote approve, there will be additional funds, therefore, coming in. And among those things that we will request from Metro, and we don't believe we're going to receive resistance, that they will support this financially in terms of regulating it and having money there. And we're going to benefit. If they're taking in taxes, and that could be from the rental units as well, if they're taking in sales taxes, guess what doesn't have to go up and could even go down? The mill rate at which they charge all of us and that we pay taxes for. Other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Hi, George. Thanks. My name is Steve Koch. I'm at Aspenwood Lodge. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the regulations. In particular, I would like to ask that the buildings are treated somewhat differently and work in conjunction with those. So in particular, you mentioned trash, parking, and noise. Those are all concerns that our building addresses, not the master association. So in terms of whether there's licensees, can those be allocated back to our building? And then because we are basically dealing with all those elements as is. So no one's going to dispute that all of these regulations, we want, as you said, a very nice community, and I think that's appropriate. But I'd like to see the Master Association. It's a very different situation, the condo building versus the wider
It is different. Well, we certainly would acknowledge that the board, and I will speak as an individual board member, in that the renters, the people who are renting, the landlords, who are taking in money for these renters, who are increasing the need for more garbage removal, those landlords participate in your individual buildings to support the additional funding that is necessary. That's just one opinion. I'm going off the boards. I won't have that vote.
But now I'm being asked to fund for the wider association and my building when the wider association is not impacted by our building.
Did you have a response to that, Arnie?
Yeah. We need a different set of standards to the regulations.
Arnie Gellman, address?
150 Swatch. I'm just curious, would that create a different set of standards that would be held, let's say, for the village as compared to, let's say, other properties that are running out property?
I don't think we're asking for a different standard. We're asking for the standards that we apply in our building.
Okay.
And I agree. I think the other thing in this document that I was reading is it appears that only the fines are levied on the short-term rentals. Why doesn't that apply to everyone? So if there's in addition, I mean the.
No, I'm going to refer you within the declarations to section 8.1. Section 8.15, section 8.16, 19, 20, 21, 29, 9.2, which includes owner's responsibilities. So it applies across the board to us all, and the fines are, in fact, more onerous according to the declaration. The first time you get fined, the first time you get a notice, you get a warning. The second time, you get a $500 fine. Each subsequent time is a doubling of the immediately preceding fine. So this can really escalate in a hurry if you're not responsive to the fine. And there's an appeals process as well, so that there's no jackboot that's upon you. It can go to a panel that will review it and can be reversed. And other comments or other questions? Thank you. In a moment, I'd like to recognize, I will accept a motion to adjourn, but I would first like to thank you for your attention this evening, for your participation, for caring about your community enough to come in and voice your opinion. That whether any of us agree with each other or did not, we have a voice, and it's important that we use it, and this board going forward will continue to respect your input. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
No move.
Second?
Second.
Thank you, everyone.